Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All rise.
It's
the first
so good.
Edition of Heat Court is now in session. The Honorable Judge Layla Rahimi.
Wait for it. One more time.
What you're doing, what you're not doing, and you shall be judged. Next on Heat Court, Rob and McHenry on The Score.
I'm a baseball umpire, and I had a game last night, obviously hot. Is it cool to have about 2 inches all over the strike zone bigger when it's that hot?
Yes.
To me, it sure
yes.
Is.
The Dan Bernstein Show.
I mean, the first kid comes up, and it's 3 inches outside, and I strike, and the kid looks at me. I'm like, kid, 94 degrees. I'm overweight. I'm back here hot.
Yes.
On The Score.
I loved that yesterday. Full stop. And for a lot of reasons. I just thought it was so much fun. I actually, I texted Layla last night. I just said, I hope you're as proud of that as I am. She's like, I don't know what the hell that was. And I said, that's the point. I said, that is exactly the point of if the whole idea of having a radio show, like anybody can make a podcast and you put it on a thing and then people can get it if they want. And podcasting is wonderful. And it's a great little, it's an outstanding way to democratize communication. And I love it. I'm certain that I'll be doing it someday, or when I'm old and sitting in my desk chair farting on myself, I'll probably still have some sort of podcast that nobody's listening to, because that's how life goes. I get that. That's the natural order of things. But just thinking about the idea of coming up with something, thinking about a bit, saying, are we going to do this? Like, hell yeah, we're going to do this. And then doing it with very little preparation, having it be really fun, have everybody be a part of it. And it's going out into space. It's in space. It's actually on a 50,000-watt Canadian Clear radio signal being beamed out toward the universe. That's fun. That's why, I mean, I'm telling you, if either terrestrial radio is in your heart, or in this case, interstellar radio, the idea that somewhere those signals, that energy, leaves the atmosphere somewhere and goes out, that's headed somewhere. And I don't know where it's going to end up, but that's why when you have, say, they say, look, for the next 3 hours, and you're going to do some, you know, don't get us sued and don't get us fined. And other than that, just have fun and be interesting. And that's the deal. It's so ridiculous. And that when you actually think about how ridiculous that is what makes all of this really entertaining. What makes it matter. And we got the White Sox game out of the way early. Like, the games that cascade in a good way, you forget what that feels like. This White Sox season's been so awful and so painful. It's like, all right, of all people, Yoan Moncada hits the home run, and that starts the ball rolling, and the Tigers are ass. They are absolute cold-boiled ass on a plate. I don't know what is wrong with Javier Baez.
And I have not looked up O swing percentage and Z swing percentage and O take percentage and Z take percentage, which is inside the zone and outside the zone, because I don't feel like it.
What about the bleh swing percentage?
Right? I mean, seriously, he's taken, he's like either taking strikes like right on the or swinging through them. It's not even the old Javi at bats, where he's fouling off the fastballs or turning on the fastballs and then diving out in the other batter's box at some of the breaking stuff. It's not interrupting his play in the field. I mean, the guy's still magic in the field, but whoo, I thought they might be good too. If you look at some of the projections about the Tigers, they're saying, hey, you know, soon that thing's going to arm itself. Keep an eye. Oh my God.
Get a better arm.
They're so bad. Like they give away at bats okay, that's fine. And you know what? Great. You're allowed. You're absolutely, not only are you allowed, like I always, you think like, you know, you don't have to apologize for beating the horse ass teams. You have to. It's mandatory. Ask the Padres. It's mandatory. This is what baseball is now. And to some extent, when you start looking at final standings post deadline will tell you the way things all eventually shook out. But when you start looking pre-deadline at some of the projections right now with the number of teams at the moment, this is before the sell-off. This is before the teams in that sort of odd little uncomfortable area underneath, before they've begun having those the reckonings, having those meetings like, yeah, we got to sell, because there's going to be more. At the moment, there are, I counted, 9 projected 90-loss teams. This is FanGraphs projections, looking at all everything. It's a run scored, runs prevented model, essentially. But this is with current personnel. This is if there were no trades. You have the Rockies, Cubs, and Reds projected as 93-loss teams. You have the Tigers, Pirates, and Orioles projected as 94-loss teams. The Nationals at 95, the Royals at 96, and the Athletics at 99. Now, in that sort of interregnum of the teams that are needing to decide, unfortunately, the White Sox would be, and obviously the White Sox are not going to be one of those teams, and neither are likely the Guardians. White Sox are, hey, congratulations, White Sox. The projected win total is now 82. They are projected to be a winning team. The Guardians at 81 and 81. Then you've got the Marlins at 80 and 82. The Angels, an 83 loss team. Mariners, 85 losses. Rangers, 87. Diamondbacks, 89. So there's going to be some teams get added to that list. So, all right, well, where is that being made up? On the high end, where are your projections? Yankees at 103 wins, Dodgers 96 wins, Mets 95, Astros 95 wins, Padres and Jays 94, and the Braves 93 wins, with the Giants sitting there at 89, Brewers, Rays, Cardinals at 87, Red Sox and Phillies at 86. It's just that the pre-deadline bifurcation is such where you had better make hay against these teams right damn now, like the Sox are doing. And you see what that does for run differential. You see what it does for everything else. So am I going to do it again is the question. Are we going to do this again? Are we going to say that this is the time when things are going to get better? Because I've been burned way too many times by declaring, all right, that's enough. Things will start to improve. Things will start to turn. I will tell you this. You start looking at unsung guys who, when it's all said and done, if in fact the White Sox win 89 games and win the division, or win 90 games and win the division, you better put something together for what Danny Mendick is doing right now. You really have to. What he is right now, at the very least, is in the lineup every day as your second baseman for the rest of the year. I know he won't play to a 134 WRC plus for the remainder of the year, but I want to see him try. And if, in fact, you got to work around it a little later, whatever. But what he's doing, this guy, out of nowhere, you need, if you're going to be a good team, especially if you're going to win a World Series, You need randos to have great years. Every World Series team, every champion, and every and even if you want to square that with not like the La Russa 83 win Cardinals that just sort of said, oh, I guess we won the World Series. How about that whole deal? If you're really looking at teams who establish themselves as good teams and then go on to win the championship, you have to have guys who you know for sure it's a career year. And I always think about your last White Sox champion, and the greatest example of all time is not just the three closers, it's more Neil Kotz and Cliff Polite. Like, what the hell was that? What the hell was that? And you probably ask them, I don't know. It just that happens in baseball. And when Luis Robert is plugging along at a 108 WRC plus, sure, your stars have to give you star stuff, but other guys. And if Jake Berger can figure out how to pick up a baseball and earn enough time that way, he's one of those guys. But especially the way he's played with Tim Anderson out to keep your season afloat. When you the White Sox lost their best player by a mile, their best player measurably, and their what anybody would describe as their spiritual center, their heart and soul, their you go, we go, the guy Tony La Russa has gushed about, they lost him. And this random guy steps in and is already worth 7/10 of a win in just 26 games for the Sox. So if, in fact, we look back on this and there's a dog pile in somewhere in September and they're celebrating a divisional championship, my hope is that somebody like Mendick certainly gets his due. Hey, when we come back, there was a football thing yesterday. There's a lot of sort of odd Bears notes that are floating around that we're going to get to. But the curious case of Byron Pringle is something that I want to address, because I guess the word is a little disappointed with how he is handling this and how the team is handling the facts of what happened to him in the offseason. There's a way to do it, and there's a way not to do it, and I'm curious as to why the White Sox chose to handle it exactly why the Bears chose to handle it exactly the way they did. Because my question is, what else do I need to know? What else do we need to know about this that we don't? This is one situation in which we're going to ask that question today on The Score.
The Dan Bernstein Show, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's a lovely Thursday in the Chicagoland area, with the weather starting to moderate a little bit. The humidity is a little bit down. Yeah, we did have the doubleheader yesterday afternoon, and it was weird yesterday. I don't know if you ever played games out at near Taft High School with a Reed Dunning field out there, the turf field. It's a football and baseball field combined on turf. There are winds out there. It's really flat, and there's nothing. It's almost like an airport, because it's just this wide open area. And even though it was 95, the winds are like at 35 miles an hour. So then what happens is I end up getting sunburned because it doesn't feel as hot because the wind is blowing. It was just this kind of very, very strange day. But it's better today, and it's going to be a lot nicer this weekend. So before we hear from him, I know that you probably don't remember exactly what happened when Byron Pringle of the Chicago Bears got arrested in Florida in April. So before we hear from him, and I think he has a preliminary hearing coming up in the first week of July in this regard, so we don't really know. He's pleaded not guilty. So these are the facts of the case that I want to lay this out before we hear what he had to say yesterday and the first opportunity to speak to Chicago outside of what he had said on Twitter, which was actually, frankly, a little disturbing. This is CBSSports.com. New Chicago Bears wide receiver Byron Pringle was arrested in Florida and charged with reckless driving, as well as driving while his license was suspended or revoked. Pringle was observed by Florida Highway Patrol doing donuts in his Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat. According to arrest documents obtained by WFLA Channel 8, officers first noticed a cloud of smoke that reduced the visibility to nearly zero for drivers heading west. They then stopped Pringle and noticed he had a child in the back seat. After running his license, officers discovered the license was suspended. Pringle was then reportedly told he was under arrest for reckless driving, and officers said he ignored verbal commands and became confrontational. He was eventually apprehended and charged with reckless driving and driving while license suspended or revoked. So this was when, what's interesting is that he ignored verbal commands, became confrontational, was eventually apprehended and charged. So that brings us to his response. And he tweeted after his media availability, "I'm just here to play football and not answer clown questions." Okay. I wasn't sure that asking about him... You tell me, are these clown questions?
Aaron, what happened down in Florida when you were arrested, and what are your thoughts looking back on that situation now?
Oh, I had talked to Coach, talked to Poles, and before it hit the media and everything squared away in-house, so, you know.
What are your thoughts on the situation, though? On what?
No thoughts on it.
When you join a new team and you know, you have a fan base that doesn't know you, you know, or is getting to know you, and then they see your name in a headline for that reason, that's obviously not the greatest first impression in the world, right?
No, sir.
What do you want people to know about you?
I'm just a hard worker, man. I love the game. You know, things happen.
The report said there was a child in the car. Was the child your child or someone else's?
Yeah, whatever you read in the media is all good, whatever they say.
After the incident in Florida, do you feel you have to redeem yourself in the eyes of the organization?
I come here to play. They know I'm coming to play. I'm coming to work hard. Ain't no excuses, no complaints, none of that. I'm just smile and keep working hard. It don't matter the weather, cold, hot, I'm going to be smiling, working.
All right, this is disappointing on a couple of levels. And let me ask this question first and foremost. Are there extenuating circumstances here where we need to know and should know about the incident itself, actual facts about the incident? Because I don't want to go off half-loaded here and say anything that I want to take back. I'm talking about myself at the moment. Because I know that these police reports are often exaggerated in one direction. And I get that when they say became confrontational, eventually apprehended, what else do we need to know about the actual facts of the case and how aggressively were... What I'm saying is I know that very often by the time the facts of a police interaction reach mainstream media, we are getting their version of events that is taken, and generally police reports are taken as gospel when we know for a fact they are often not that. And I want to be clear, as crystal clear, that I know that, and that I know that I want to be as fair as possible if there's anything else I need to know. Okay. The Bears need to do a better job of preparing their player for these completely fair and reasonable questions from reporters trying to find out what happened to the Bears wide receiver, what he did, why he did it, what the facts were, and fill that in. Because this guy's on a, remember, he's on a 1-year prove it deal. He's here to springboard himself into another contract. And ultimately, of course, it comes down to the play on the field, and we will see. But this is not Tyreek Hill. This is not, I mean, I know we get a sliding scale for the kinds of missteps, shall we say, whether in civil court, criminal court, for any sort of transgression, where people are going to go out of their way to make excuses or to allow it or to ameliorate some of the bad feelings. He hasn't earned any of that yet. I don't know who, I guess it's a nice way of saying, I don't know who he thinks he is, but the way he's carrying himself, like, none of that matters. I'm just smiling. I'm just here to play. And to then dismiss those questions as clown questions, they're very, very, very far from that. And asking about how he's making a first impression on both his team and everybody else. If this is what he was told by the Bears is okay, that's not okay. This is all, Ryan Poles hasn't been a GM before. The GM is in charge of the football side of things. And whoever is, to whom the PR department is answering changes on different teams. On some teams, the PR department answers to the a president of business operations, like we sort of wanted to happen, a Cubs-style model, where that department exists in between the football side and the business side. And I don't know to whom the PR department answers. If this is Scott Hagel, my presumption is it's under Scott Hagel and not necessarily under Ryan Poles, but that's not okay. That's got to be better. And if there is more that we need to know, I'd certainly like to know more. It is possible that there are inconsistencies in the police report or there are conflicting witness statements as to what happened and how it happened. But this is the 312 says Pringle is acting like he's a Hall of Famer baseball person. That was, and why can't you just say, is it your kid or someone else's kid? Is that a difficult question to answer? I don't know. I guess I was disappointed. There's, if he wants, there would be a way to say, to just handle it a little bit more delicately, a little more diplomatically, and a lot less defiantly. Unless it was a case of mistaken identity. It's the wrong dude, all the stuff about not listening to the cops or being eventually apprehended. Like that's a powerful word. So I know to take police reports with a grain of salt. I know that. And I just didn't like it. Bottom line, I think there's a way you handle that to talk to the media and then to go on Twitter and refer to that stuff as clown questions is a misunderstanding of how things work. There's a way to respect the process. And even if he wants to say, this is a pending case, and I'm going to have my day in court. There will be facts that will be admitted as evidence and testimony given in court by my attorneys. Or he could simply say, I've been instructed by my attorneys at this point to not answer questions about what happened, and I look forward to my name being cleared. With that, I'm happy to answer questions about football. Then just prepare him for it. That's the team's job. Team jobs get him ready and say, hey, here's what's probably coming. Just be ready for it. So it was of some of the Bears things that happened yesterday. I was a little surprised that one went down in a way that was easily avoidable. Instead of just saying, I understand that you're going to ask me these questions and they're completely valid and there will be a time and place when I can talk about them. But today is not that day. But to then be defiant and dismissive and to get on Twitter and refer to them as clown questions is, bottom line, bad look. So my hope is that when we find out more, we'll feel better about it and it'll be absolutely no big deal. Hey, the NBA draft is coming like next week and the Bulls have a first round pick. How about it? The Bulls actually have a first round pick that they haven't traded away to get themselves into the position to be a first round out. That sounded shadier than I meant it to be. But I don't know if they want this pick. I'm not sure how this draft is going to look and where other teams are jockeying around at the moment. You know who knows about a lot of this stuff? A guy named Ricky O'Donnell, who covers the Bulls and has a strong thoughts as an NBA and NBA draft writer at SB Nation. He's got a new mock draft out, and he has team names and player names next to those team names. So we will discuss with him and get a primer on maybe what to expect next week for the Bulls and the NBA draft, and maybe talk a little finals as well. Coming up on The Score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.